This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we talk about the Windows 10 anniversary update, BlackBerry Hub on Android, hacking thermostats, and wait, is Derek moving to Estonia? That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 81 for Monday, August 8th, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, another week has come and gone. All sorts of news in tech. Weather-wise, we're in for another very, very hot week coming up here where we record in London. I think it's something like 50 days till fall.
I know you're counting. I'm on the countdown till vacation right now. I've got 31 days left.
Excellent. Well, I also hate to say, and I know there's a few people who listen that are going to kill me when I say this, but I saw a tweet the other day. Costco has the Christmas paper. Must be August. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Every year.
Same. Yeah. Well, August they are technically out. A wholesale company, so yeah. We all know there are other retailers who actually go to Costco and buy stuff and sell it at their stores, so that's part of the reason why, but that's also part of the reason why I don't go to Costco.
you mean you don't want to pick up a snowsuit for one of your kids? They have those in June.
We already did.
Yeah.
So my wife did.
So. There you go.
And it was from Costco. Yeah, it was like 20 bucks. So
I know.
Can't really complain, but I did not go.
And you did not go. Okay.
I was not at Costco. Yes, I do like that distinction.
We will make that. She won't, but we will. Exactly. So, okay. So shall we get on with the news?
I think we shall.
Starting up things. Windows 10, the anniversary update, has indeed. That also meant the end of the free update. So I'm sure their help desk was inundated with people on the following day saying, "What do you mean it's not free anymore?
Why I was just going to say, me? What do you mean it's not free anymore?"
Exactly, all the nagging. So you know, I'm sure they had a fun day. I hope they had a good stiff drink afterwards.
I imagine they did.
The thing's been released, and of course, needless to say, people didn't listen to Stu's. I think it's Stu's Law of Computing number 3 is like wait a week or two when the update comes out and let everyone else find the bugs. Because mm-hmm. There has been some bugs. I guess some Avast users had some issues with it when after they installed the update, it would blue screen or worse.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Apparently, there's also some issues with Xbox One controllers and stuff like that. Now, this is from the weekend, so there might be some stuff to fix it. But apparently, you know, there was some improvements too. Apparently, some areas in Cortana, Edge finally got some actual plugins, including AdBlock Plus, LastPass, and Amazon Assistant for those of you that use that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. This is definitely the bit of a first time. Microsoft has said there's not going to be any more Windows. It'll be kind of taking the Mac OS X model and just releasing updates every so often. You know, we're going to mention in a second. They've also got two big Windows 10 updates planned for next year. Mm-hmm. Any comments on this, Derek?
No, I'm more or less done with Windows. We all know I'm running Elementary OS on my desktop right now. I've got a MacBook Pro from Olio that I use as my daily driver at work, obviously. I've got a Raspberry Pi running Noobs OS. I have still a laptop upstairs that's running Windows 10. I think the anniversary update came in, so that's fine, but I'm a mix right now, but in terms of, you know, being on the ball and what's going on now, I'm kind of done. I mean, I wish it all the success. I don't have anything against it. I just don't really have a need for it. I wouldn't mind playing around with Cortana a little bit just to learn where Microsoft's heading with that. But I can do that on the laptop upstairs if I want to sit down and mess around with it. So.
Right.
So, yeah, right. No, I'm
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same thing. I was hoping to get my wife's rebuilt machine, the free upgrade, but then the drive decided to die just before that. So
of course,
that's fine. We decided to leave it on Windows 7. That's what I'm running. I've got a VM or two, so I'll play around with it. But yeah, unless I get a totally brand new machine, which I can't see any time soon. Yeah, I mostly have Windows on this thing for gaming. Really anything else I can do on the Mac. So, but yeah, as you say, we wish them all the best. And again, the follow-up story is they've said they are going to have two big Windows 10 upgrades planned for 2017. They're called Redstone 2 and 3, according, those are the code words. Apparently the internal builds are out for testing right now. Mm-hmm. We haven't really heard what's going to happen here.
ZFS. ZFS. Let's move to ZFS file system.
There you go.
Probably not likely. I know Windows quite likes NTFS, and NTFS is a fine file system, to be honest.
Yes, it is.
What we kind of skipped over here is that this week also brought the release of these new Skype bots, chat bots.
Yes.
So there's apparently now a Skype bot directory for iOS, Mac, Android, Windows, web apps. I only have Skype on this MacBook Pro, so I'll have to sit down and try and find some time, but you and I both had to do some Skype upgrades before we got started here, and I did notice a few interface changes. Before we started the call, in the where you write your messages, your chat messages, I noticed a bunch more options there. Let me see if I can pull up somebody else's. There's actually individual icons to send photos. Send voice messages, send my location, contacts, and of course, emoticons or emojis.
Emojis and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see. I just hope some of the Skype bots are better behaved than some of the Amazon Echo bots. I laugh at poor Leo Laporte. He had a bot on his Amazon Echo that eventually he had to block it. He couldn't find a way to turn the damn thing off.
Oh, what was it supposed to do?
I'm trying to remember what it did. Now, it was something fairly harmless, but it was just, you know, in theory, you should be able to turn this thing off, and he couldn't figure out how, so in the end, he had to block it or something like that. I think it was Amazon Echo. It was either that or it was Facebook. But it was a bot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. It might have been Facebook now that I'm thinking about it, but yeah, just, it was really annoying. In the end, he had to block it. So, you know, a good example of make sure you program these things well, kids, to make sure, you know. Mm-hmm. So, okay, moving on. Pokemon. You remember that game?
I'm still playing it.
I think it's still a thing. Yeah. You know, I'm being sarcastic here. Pokemon's, and I've noticed this. There's two bits of the story. Apparently, battery pack sales have doubled after Pokemon's Go initial release.
Not a surprise.
This doesn't surprise me. I know on my phone, it's an older phone and it just sucks the battery. And I've heard other people say that as well. Of course, the other thing was, and this was just actually released earlier, our colleague Jameson tweeted it out. Niantic promised that they did have a bug with the power save feature, so they actually turned it off. The battery saver mode. So apparently, the new patch has just been released and that's back again.
So was the bug the fact that it would actually cause the app to stop responding? Because I did notice that. I tried battery saver mode about 2 weeks ago, and I realized that after leaving the phone in my pocket for a little while so that I could walk and still track distance while I was, you know, going for a walk around the block, I went to use the app and, like, see if there was anything in the area, any Pokemon, and the app was... It wouldn't respond to touches anymore.
Yeah, I don't think this is it. This was more for iOS devices. No, okay. This was really, but they did have some other little bugs too. I noticed it sometimes. There was a glitch where catching Pokemon was more difficult. You wouldn't get XP bonus points.
Yes,
or
I did
sometimes
notice that.
The monster would escape. But I noticed a couple of times it would escape, but it wouldn't really tell you, and all of a sudden it would just show up again. So apparently this is supposed to help that. And Jameson says he's just got the update because he was thanking God, Providence, and I believe the game manufacturer as well. Not quite. I'm being slightly sarcastic, but he was
not that far off.
He was quite vocal. yeah, he was quite happy to have the battery safe feature back. So
cool.
So yeah. But Nat continues to do very, very well. The one hilarious thing, it wasn't available in Brazil until a couple days ago. So a lot of people, a lot of Olympic athletes that went down early for the games, expected to play, they couldn't play it for a while. So it's now available in Brazil. And it's still making them a heck of a lot of money.
I'm sure it is.
Yes, yes. Why didn't we think of this? So yeah,
well, I did, but you know, I wasn't going to pay for the licensing fees.
Damn it! Anyway, okay. Now this one's kind of funny because we were actually talking about this the other week, and we were all saying about how your wife has a BlackBerry, but you know, her phones may need replacing soon, and she's one of these ones that you know take my Hub Plus or take my Hub out of my cold dead hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that. Once I had someone explain it to me, I can see why. It's a very popular feature. Apparently, they're going to release it on Android devices.
Already did. And yeah, I actually installed it a few days ago. And for the most part, it works great. It has everything laid out the way it does on BlackBerry OS.
Mm-hmm.
Key differences are that tapping on a mention from a tweet or an Instagram notification or something like that actually launches the native application. It doesn't do that on BlackBerry OS, mostly because a lot of those apps don't exist. And the other big difference is that there's no widget available yet. So you can't like just plant it on your home screen and let it take up your whole screen. You actually have to launch the app. And so far for my wife, that's kind of a deal killer. She doesn't want to have to launch the app itself. And frankly, there should be a widget. It was actually really annoying to realize, oh, I can't just like leave this up on my screen all the time. Or, you know, make it my... you know, I can have multiple home screens and Android. So if I have three, one is technically Google Now. So I got to swipe to the right to get to there. And if I swipe left again, I get to my main primary home screen. If I swipe left again, I get some other apps that I want to have on my home screen instead of going into the app drawer. So it'd be nice to have that primary home screen, you know, Google Now to the left, Hub in the middle, and then over to the right, you know, frequently used apps, which would basically emulate a BlackBerry OS device now with the addition of Google Now all the way over to the left. So it actually really sucks that there's no widget yet. I'm hoping they fix that soon. I have a feeling we're not going to get my wife a new phone before we go off on vacation.
I was going to ask you what she thought of it, so there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, she looked and she was like, okay, you know, not bad. And I showed her like, yeah, you know, here's one difference. If I tap on a tweet, it actually launches Twitter to show me that that mention or DM. And she's like, oh, you know, not great, but I could probably live with that. But then the lack of a home screen widget, I think, was a deal killer for her. So BlackBerry, if you're listening, please make a full screen widget. So I think that's 4x5.
Fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And it would also make Derek's life much happier.
It really
happy
would.
Happy wife.
If I could have everybody an Android, that'd be a great start. And if I didn't have to worry about, you know, making my wife, what's the word I'm looking for? Compromise on, on something fairly simple like a home screen widget, that would also be great.
Exactly. Now, a couple of interesting things. They are saying the app is actually free for the first 30 days, but after that, you pay a subscription fee of 99 cents per month.
Which is reasonable.
Which is reasonable, or you can use it with ads.
Right.
But it also gives you access to the company's contacts, tasks, device search, notes, and launcher apps. If you want the virtual keyboard, you're out of luck. Now, do you think this is definitely, you know, a way BlackBerry should be going? It's, to me, at least, it seems like if they've got some software that other people will run on other platforms, then, you know, it's definitely something they should be looking at.
Yeah, to be honest, I think BlackBerry's hardware business is dead. Mm-hmm. At the DTEC 50 is, oh, I will say it's the penultimate device they're going to release.
Right.
The BlackBerry Priv was too expensive for a lot of people. Apparently, they heard loud and clear, according to John Chen, that their first entrance into Android should not have been $700 or $800. Okay, fine. So the DTEC 50 is going to be $400, better, but it's going to be highly underpowered on the battery side with only a 2600 milliamp hour battery. And so much so that if you pre-order, they actually send you a massive battery pack as well that's worth $70 US. Hmm. I imagine they have some products in the pipeline. One probably ready to go fairly soon after the DTEC 50, maybe before the holiday season. And I think that one, the one after the DTEC 50, is going to be their last one. I don't think they're seeing enough success to keep going and to justify even white labeling a Chinese reference design like the one from TCL that they're using for the DTEC 50. So, I think 2016 is the end of the road for BlackBerry's hardware business, and they're going to have to focus on software and services from here on out. And they have, other things like QNX that they license for automobiles. It's good. It's a real-time operating system. I hear wonderful things. They can focus on that. And they can focus on making really killer productivity software for Android and iOS and charge a buck a month. A buck a month is cheap. A buck a month is great for high-quality, all-in-one messaging software. I'll pay $12 a year. That's reasonable.
Yep, I think so. I think you're definitely, it's a direction they're going to have to go. And I think, there could be some good product out there just because there's, primarily two platforms now. They could do some excellent stuff with it.
Absolutely. I can still see
the people in the corporate world, once less and less corporate BlackBerries are around. If it's an incentive to put people towards the Android platform, then, that might be a good idea as well.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we're going to pause here for a word from our sponsor. So we're going to go ahead and listen to that now.
Do you have an idea for a mobile app, a problem that can be solved with software, two or three pieces of software that need to be integrated in order to speed up your business, or maybe just a website that needs to be freshened up? If so, you can turn to Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and builders of custom web and mobile applications powering some of Canada's largest brands, from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, The Home Depot, to College Pro, and Ellison Travel and Tours. Olio offers custom web and mobile applications, interface design, e-commerce development, a web platform, and Olio is also a Shopify partner, enabling your business to get the most out of Shopify. For a free consultation on how Olio can help you, call 226-785-0420, email derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com/contact.html and fill out the form to tell them about your project. That's oliodigitallabs.com.
And we're back. We'd like to thank Olio for their support. Okay, another conference started this week, the Black Hat Conference in Vegas. So there's always some interesting things that come out of there. One interesting one is this one I found. There's two security researchers. They created some ransomware, more of a demo, just describing things with the Internet of Things. And in this case, there's a bug in a particular thermostat. Now, they haven't revealed which one because they hadn't had a chance to contact the company yet and get it fixed. But for this to happen, you'd really have to do a couple of specific steps, like to get this thing loaded on the thermostat. Mm-hmm. But, again, they basically say in the future, you could, in theory, have ransomware. I like the one comment they put here as a tweet. Complaints from the future. My Nest thermostat has been locked by ransomware. It's demanding $300 in 24 hours or to lock the temperature at 99.
Sad, but... Potentially, definitely possible.
Yeah. And I think, because I think part of the problem is that these companies sometimes either A, don't even think about security, or B, don't know how to deal with it once they find a an exploit. So people are really have to be careful. I actually read something else about certain Bluetooth locks. There's another story coming out where you know how you can get a door lock that has Bluetooth.
I think it was the August lock.
Yeah, and they can, and again, someone's found an exploit for it.
Yeah.
I liked one of the comments in that someone said, you know, the best thing of all is this metal thing which has some little notches. You insert it in a hole, it pushes some pins up, and you turn it. stuff like that. So
I've got one of those in my garage, actually.
Yeah. I just wanted to, point out that, you got to be careful with some of these things, particularly when they are connected to the internet like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember years ago, there was websites where early webcams that would allow you to remote in, they would have it open by default. And it was a fairly easy thing because it had a little web server. Google would promptly find it, and it was a fairly easy search, and you could find literally thousands of these things.
Yeah.
And it'd be like watching over a store. It could be watching over a child's room.
I remember those?
Yeah, I do. People just didn't know how to tie them down, make them secure.
Yeah.
And this is partially the fear here.
Yeah, and I don't blame people. I mean, this is I listened to Stiggy Higginbotham's IoT podcast. She and I were actually tweeting back and forth yesterday. I was quite surprised.
How cool is that?
She found a tweet of mine about the connected toaster where you can do custom toast designs on your bread.
There you go.
And I thought it was really funny, but I shared it in a very non making fun of it way. Like I just kind of put it out there and I was like, I want to see what sort of traffic this gets. And she quoted my tweet and said, nope. And I was like, yeah, no, you're right. Nope. This is ridiculous, but it's funny. So a bunch of people got involved and started tweeting about it. But anyway, her and Kevin Toefel, who works at Google, talk about that sort of thing all the time. Like about how, a lot of these manufacturers, especially startups who are just getting going on their first device, they have no idea. They have no idea how to secure this stuff, or they don't think about it. And, they need people like you and I, and like the developers I work with who are constantly thinking about security. You mm-hmm. cannot just put out a thermostat that connects to the internet and assume that because it's behind somebody's Linksys or D-Link or Netgear firewall at their house that it's not going to get compromised. You have to have some security mechanisms built right in. So it's something people are going to have to deal with more and more, and you need a plan. You need a plan to roll out quick fixes, as quickly as possible. You don't want to bog down your servers, but if you have a patch to get out there, test the heck out of it. Have a bunch of people test it really, quickly but thoroughly, and then and then release.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, moving on. A lot of people know I'm kind of waiting for the fall. Apple's will hopefully release a refresh for their hardware. We're pretty sure the MacBook Pro is going to get a refresh. I'm really hoping the Air will still be around because I'd really like a MacBook Air. My MacBook Pro is about 5 years old and starting to feel its age. But one thing came out of the rumor mill here was in addition to an OLED touch bar, there may also have put a Touch ID sensor on the Mac. And now there's rumors saying, are they going to put it on the power button, this or that. And I know you had a rant about this. You were just waiting. So I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to get my popcorn out.
It's some popcorn.
And my soda and just sit back. And the Canadian Tech Podcast presents the rant of Derek.
It won't be long, which is nice.
Okay, that's fine.
The main thing is don't use this. Don't use this on your Apple phone. Don't use this on your Android phone. Don't use fingerprint sensors. If you have any self-worth over your data, your security, your text messages, your emails, don't, because especially in the US, but I'm quite confident the same thing applies here, Police cannot compel you to unlock your phone with your password ID or like a passcode, number passcode. They can, however, force you to unlock your phone with your thumbprint. The difference being that your passcode is something you know and therefore is inside your head and therefore is not subject to, you know, the same sort of laws. Whereas your fingerprint is part of your body and therefore they can actually compel you to unlock your phone with Touch ID or with your fingerprint or on the new Samsung Galaxy Note 7 with your iris in your eye. So don't.
But what happened, you know, and the other thing too is that if it's not the police that are holding you, if it's, well, it could be, but you know, right. If it's usually someone a little bit badder, they could just cut your finger off.
Right. Or force your eye open or, you know, force you to say something specific. So no, don't. It's a very bad idea. I'm actually quite happy with the fact that my second gen Moto X does not have a fingerprint reader. And I'm pretty sure I know for a fact I'm going to keep going that way. I'd much rather put in a 6 or 8 digit passcode every time on my phone. And with Signal for SMS and MMS, I have a separate passcode for that. And now with Cloud Magic for email, I have a separate passcode for that. So I have 3 different passcodes that you'd need to know in order to actually get everything out of my phone. And that's the way I like it.
Excellent. Excellent. No, actually, when I've had a 6 or a 6S, yeah, I haven't used it either. I just, it's a little bit too easy there. So there you go. So that's Derek's rant for the week. Transcripts will be available soon. Just contact us. No. Just kidding. Okay.
We'll upload this to YouTube, and hopefully their auto caption service will work.
That'd be rather hilarious, wouldn't it?
It would.
We should try that. Okay, moving on. Our good friends at Rogers and Bell.
Rogers and Bell
are talking about their plans. Now, I did joke that, no, they're not talking to each other. Well, at least they won't admit it. But they're talking about their plans for launching IPTV services by the end of 2016. This is your story. I'm a cable cutter, so, you know, I don't know
as
much about
I.
this. So.
Well, yeah. But, you know, a lot of millions of people still have cable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back in July, when Rogers revealed their quarterly earnings report, they also said, but didn't make a big deal out of, quote, enhanced TV offerings, including an improved legacy user interface, 4K TV, and the launch of an Internet Protocol Television, a.k.a. IPTV, which is expected at the end of this year. And, yeah, so that was interesting because they said that they're seeing growing subscriber interest in 4K video quality, and it has plans to deliver 100 live sporting events in 4K resolution by the end of this year. I imagine that's mostly NHL, considering they have the rights to that here in Canada.
Right.
Of course, that means that, well, we don't know. And so similarly, Bell, sorry, just let me get that opened up, is basically saying the same thing. They are saying that that they are going to be the first TV provider in the world to offer a completely wireless IPTV installation with the wireless 4K PVR for Fibe TV. Now, what that actually means is that your satellite will connect to a primary set-top box in your house that's actually accepting the 4K connection or signal.
Right.
And then it will broadcast wirelessly to other high-def set-top boxes in your house. And it's also going to have the 4K Netflix app built in to this new set-top box that they are releasing, the Home Hub 3000. And
as long as they have quality TV, because that's the problem. I don't mind Netflix and stuff like that, but when I look back when I'm at friends' house and some of the stuff that's on there, it's like, yeah, no, even in 4K, it doesn't make it suck any less.
Yeah,
it still sucks.
Yeah, it's still
most reality TV, exactly. So.
What we're really looking at here is does appear to be proper IPTV, so it's actually going to stream over the internet. What we don't know for sure is whether these are going to be IPTV available anywhere, like to anyone, and you don't have to be a Bell Internet subscriber, or you don't have to be a Bell Satellite subscriber,
or like someone like my mom just west of Kamoka, where Bell and Rogers are still not wanting to do the last mile, for example.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Hopefully. Oh yeah, that was my inside voice.
Yeah, so we don't know that. The one big reason to suspect that you will still need to have a Bell Internet subscription in order to get Bell Fi by PTV with 4K PVR, enough acronyms to you can throw a stick at, and that's ditto right. with Rogers, is that they will probably want to be able to multicast these sorts of signals so that they're only broadcasting it once, and maybe they have some sort of caching server in London or a couple of caching servers in London, and that way you're pulling from London as opposed to everybody trying to pull, you know, 20 megabit per second high quality TV from directly from Toronto or Montreal or what have you. So it's probably going to still be limited to their internet connections, but you know, it's still interesting that they're moving to a pure IPTV service
at both companies. Definitely the way of the future. Exactly. Oh. So, yeah.
And I know that Start Communications is also looking to launch their own IPTV service this fall.
Because we love Start here at the Tech Podcast. They are an awesome service. If you don't have Start already and you're in an area they are, let either Derek or I know, because that means you will get a deal and we get a deal.
Yeah.
And we can happily recommend them.
Choose your favorite podcast voice and tell them that they sent you.
Yeah, but you know, but you also have to pick the one that sounds exciting. And apparently, according to one of your fans, you're not sounding exciting. So
I'm pretty sure I'm sounding a lot more exciting tonight.
All right, yeah, you are actually.
Okay,
you
are. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so monotone.
You still have to make sure your number one fan.
I'll check with them. I will.
Yeah, check with them. So, okay, this next one. This is definitely your story. Dashlane and Google established new open source API project to enable simple, secure app logins for Android users.
We lost you. All right, so I'll just keep going. So yeah, Dashlane and Google have paired up to collaboratively develop Open YOLO. No, YOLO does not mean you only live once. In this case, Open YOLO stands for you only log in once. Ah. It's an open API for app developers that will give Android apps the ability to access passwords stored in your favorite password manager and therefore effortlessly and securely log you in to those applications. So Dashlane obviously produces their own password manager app. I know that they are reaching out to 1Pass, LastPass, etc.
In order to
get them involved, which would be great. I'm not a big fan of Dashlane. I did try it, didn't like it. But LastPass, I really do enjoy. And that's another service that's only $1 US per month.
Wow.
In order to get on all your devices. If you want to use it on 3 or 4 desktops or laptops, it's still free. But if you want to sync it up to your mobile device and actually install the app on your phone, then LastPass costs $1 a month US.
So yeah, what? That's right. That's right. Yeah.
16, 17 bucks a year. It's cheap. So Google and Dashlane are forging forward and, quote, helping create a seamless, universally acceptable Android app authentication solution to increase your online security, end quote. So we don't have a timeline, unfortunately. I don't suspect this would actually take very long, but we might see some fruit from this partnership by the end of the year, maybe early in 2017. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope LastPass buys in and that everything's still super secure. But yeah, I think it would be great.
Cool.
Any thoughts?
I'm not a dev, so I'm going to, you know.
Yeah, you're also not an Android user.
I'm not an Android guy, but no, it's, you know, anything that kind of makes things simpler and, you know, makes this would definitely seem to make security a little bit better. Universally acceptable Android app authentication solution. Anything to increase online security is definitely a plus in my book. So I will go on your knowledge on this one, my friend.
Terrific.
I'll just nod knowingly. Okay. So, all right, moving on. Local story. Local story. What do we have today? Thriving London tech must still play catch up. Our friends at the London Free Press, they had a quick chat with Eric Varden, chief CEO of Arcane. This is based on a research institute at Ryerson University talking about how big the Canadian tech sector is. Mm-hmm. But apparently the study, now this is, I believe you said this is 2015 numbers. The study found London tech sector employs almost 11,000, but still ranks fifth in private sector employees behind finance, construction, retail, trade, and manufacturing. And some people are saying, you know, that's a problem. Now, I pointed out, I'm wondering if, for example, I work for a finance and insurance company. Mm-hmm. Do they include the IT people, which there is a lot of in this town, in those numbers, or do they put them under the finance or insurance industry?
I think they put them in finance and insurance, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's what I'm wondering. But yeah, in Vancouver, Ottawa, and Hamilton, the tech sector ranks second in total employment. While eight other cities, including KW and Toronto, it ranks third. Now, I'm really not surprised about this because, again, we've got, you know, if you think about London Life, where mm-hmm. I'm an employee of, or you think about the hospitals and stuff like that, they've been long-standing employers for years, and they employ thousands.
Right.
Same thing with the university and that. So, you know, should we be too worried about this? What do you think?
I don't think so. You know, like all the companies mentioned here as examples are all tech companies. So if they're only basing this on tech companies, no wonder, you know, it allegedly only employs 10,900 people in London. Now, that's still a significant number of people considering London's, really 360,000 people. Maybe 200 to 250,000 of those are actually working age, and then of course a bunch of those people are still in school. So brings it down to 200,000 people who are actually looking for full time jobs. London has a really long history of automotive manufacturing and finance and insurance. And so, of course, we have huge employment numbers in those sectors, and health, of course. So the fact that tech is already, I would say, eighth place in London actually bodes really well. That's eighth place now compared to, 20th, maybe even 10 years ago. And maybe 10th or 15th 5 years ago. Like, it has boomed recently. And Eric from Arcane does make one really good point here, that the data that StatsCan provided to Ryerson is already a year old, and there's already been a bunch more growth in the last year. So,
well, Mayor Matt Brown says the sector's added about 1,000 jobs in the last year alone.
Yeah. So if that puts the tech sector in London at 11,900. How does that compare? Does that actually put it in seventh place or sixth place now? No, it's already fifth. So does that put it in third or fourth place? Maybe it might.
Right. And we also mentioned too is, you know, unlike a lot of other places you hear about, these companies are bootstrapping themselves. They're not really getting a lot of angel investment, stuff like that.
Right.
All in all,
a lot of bootstrapping in London.
Yep, they're doing very well on their own. They don't really get a lot of help from both the city, senior governments.
Yep.
We don't hear a lot about angel investment stuff like that.
And that's actually something to be proud of, I think.
Yep, I think so too.
We're not looking for handouts. We're not looking for VC funding here in London. We're just doing it.
Yep, we're just getting down to work and getting her done.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay, we're almost done here. Stuff we like. I'm going to let you go first today.
Okay. My thing I like is Linux Mint 18. I've skimmed the review from Ars Technica because it's about 40 paragraphs long. So I haven't read the whole thing, but overall, Linux Mint 18 is a solid update. For those who don't know, it's based off of Ubuntu, but takes out a lot of the cruft and pairs it down to a very familiar desktop interface that just about anybody would be satisfied with. The apps always work great. I used Linux Mint. It was actually my work machine when I was working for a web host company called World Wide Web Hosting a few years ago.
Before, yeah, I remember it years ago. I played with it and virtual machines and stuff like that. It was very nice.
Yeah, and it's great. So this latest review from Ars Technica shows that it's keeps improving. I like how they handle the update manager, and you get to pick your options where your software update options are. One, don't break my computer, and so you only get the absolute critical. Actually, only the updates that won't harm the stability of your system will come through. The second one is optimize stability and security. So that's select updates which are known to be safe, don't impact critical parts of the operating system, but will patch security and kernel updates when needed. And the other option is always update everything. So most people should be in the middle there, but if you're super conservative, then you have the option to don't break my computer.
I like that. I think they should have an even a more conservative one. It just turns it off.
No, that's not a good idea. You need security patches at the very least.
I know, but if it turns it off, nothing's going to hack in.
Well, if you turn the internet off too, sure.
Exactly. There you go.
Disconnect me from the world. That's the last. Exactly. That's the super conservative option. Sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. No, I was just saying, it looks good as well. So get the screenshots. I'll definitely download it and try it in a VM and play around with it. Mine is another big convention just wrapped up this weekend for the gaming worlds, the gaming nerds. Gen Con from Indianapolis just wrapped up. And I found a link. There's always so much going on. I build model kits. I'm a figure painter. I love this sort of stuff. So it's just, if you want to see something a little bit different, I put one link in there. And just some of the stuff that's basically coming out in terms of minis and stuff like that. How about this one? Ninja Division Soda Pop Miniatures. So these look like little miniature guys. They're supposed to be ninjas, but somehow they've got like Viking helmets or something. It looks like rather hilarious.
So when is someone going to make a Samurai Pizza Cats board game?
Oh, they're back. They're back, exactly. Lots of good things. Zombies, you name it. It's a big building thing. There's a Harry Potter deck building game. Just tons of pictures, tons of minis. There's even going to be a board game on Big Trouble in the movie Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
It was, exactly.
It was a really good one. I need to watch that again. I think it's on Netflix. Actually, I know it's on Netflix. I have it in my list.
Awesome. I'm going to have to watch that again, too. I love that movie. I used to get lambasted, but it's beautiful. Great.
Yeah. So, by the way, apparently there is a Samurai Pizza Cats board game. It's also referred to as Kyato Ninden Teyandi.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Because, a lot of people like that. But anyway, lots of cool things. Anyone who thinks the gaming world is dying, forget it. Unfortunately, it also means, for example, coming to Kickstarter August 13th, Sharknado the board game. I'm not kidding.
Can I be Ian Ziering, please? If not, if I can't be Ian Ziering, I don't want to play.
I don't know. I never watched any of them, and
I've only seen the first one.
For it.
I've only seen the first one. I lost a couple brain cells, but I think I got them.
And apparently people love watching it now because it does kill brain cells.
Yeah. Well,
I think one needs to be drinking heavily to see that. I think that's the true way to experience.
A Sharknado drinking game would be great because, like, anytime somebody yells help or oh my gosh, or something like that. Shots. Just take a shot. Take a drink.
Everyone would be passed out about halfway through the movie.
Yep. And then you'd miss Ian Ziering and whoever. Tara Smart of late 90s fame and early 2000s, I think. Yep. Mostly American Pie.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to mention, these are the sort of games you'll eventually find at our good friend Kyla had Uber Cool Store, of course. They'll have it at the Board Game Cafe. They're actually going to have a board game based on The Godfather. They've got some minis out, and they look pretty cool, too. So, yeah.
Sorry, what's a MIDI? What's a MIDI?
Sorry, I said a mini, M-I-N-I,
mini.
A miniature.
Okay.
Mini, sorry, yeah. So anyway, check that out as well. I always like what comes out of Gen Con. Actually, a buddy of mine, him and his wife took down there both their girls this year. I about saw that. 11 or 12, and looks like they had an absolute ball.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm glad they had fun.
Yep, the next generation. So, yeah, it'll be good. Okay,
next what gen are we up nerds.
To next gen nerds. What are we up to lately? What are you up to lately, Derek?
I am checking out the free version of Avid Pro Tools, which is a piece of software to compose, record, edit, and mix audio. This weekend, I heard about a company called Purism, which develops a pure, clean version of Linux GNU, without any proprietary code whatsoever, but paired with their own hardware that they are sourcing directly from China and Taiwan. And so they actually sell their own laptops. They're taking pre-orders on 2-in-1 convertible tablets and eventually want to put out a Pure OS phone as well. A carrierless phone, no carrier. So that means Wi-Fi only, but with the option to throw in an LTE or GSM wireless radio in case you really wanted to get a carrier. But they're trying to help people disconnect where they don't want to be connected and free you of any tracking or any proprietary stuff whatsoever. So Intel proprietary binaries that are embedded in the chip, no NVIDIA proprietary drivers, and that sort of stuff. So cool philosophy. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. It should be interesting.
Yeah. And apparently they're actually selling laptops. They did they did a crowdfunding campaign, and that was successful enough that they decided to move forward with the company. And they have their own software developers developing Pure OS, which is, as I said, a distro for Linux. And I found out recently about the Estonian e-residency.
Yeah, I saw this in the note. Tell me about this.
So I'm going to read directly from sitepoint.com because that'll be easier. So it's a way of accessing Estonia's government services without ever actually visiting Estonia, although I would like to go one day. So you can start a company with all the benefits of the European Union's legal framework, as well as remotely access low-maintenance administrative tools such as tax declaration and company formation. In 2009, Estonia broke a world record for the fastest time to register a new legal entity at just 18 minutes. So basically, they're offering remotely accessible services that would normally only be available to actual residents of a country, in this case, Estonia. And so for people who are like digital nomads, entrepreneurs that don't have a fixed location, this is a huge deal. It offers a big step towards full location independence. And to top it off, it comes with minimal bureaucracy and a clear, desirable tax framework.
Okay. So my first question is, if our good friends at Revenue Canada, what are they going to think about this?
Well, what do they think about Canadians who form corporations in the Caymans and Bermuda now?
Well, that seems to be changing since that leak last year. I'm just saying. If you notice, all of a sudden, they're going, what? There's pool being played in here? There's tax evasion?
Oh
no, we didn't know about this.
Yeah, well, so Estonia has a 0% corporation tax, but 20% income tax. That's still pretty low. That's less than what I pay now.
Okay.
You get euro currency or multi-currency bank accounts if you can get a bank to accept you. You get, of course, you would have access to PayPal. Pretty sure it was built in US, but regardless, PayPal works there.
Okay.
Modern banking, and their online tax filing system there is, from what I hear, fantastic.
So we're sure this is the government and not the Estonian mob, because I can just see at some point.
No, it's absolutely the government.
Okay. I can just see at some point, you know, it's two large gentlemen knock at your door. They're saying, we with Estonia government, you pay now.
Like
that. Okay.
No, this is legitimately the government. You do have to actually send a payment to an embassy. I'd have to find a Canadian embassy here, which is probably in Ottawa, and send them 50 euros. I've actually got 50 euros right now.
There you go.
And then I'm going to need USB. Oh, I'll actually get a USB reader in the starter kit because I'm going to get that fancy Estonia ID card without a photo, though, which helps deter prevents people like me or others from going, I'm Estonian now. No, you're not Estonian now. You are, it's like getting temporary residency, basically, or permanent residency. Okay. So you're not actually a citizen of the country.
So you're not planning to defect anytime.
No. Okay. I like living here, and I probably won't form a country, a company in Estonia. I really just want it for the sake of wanting.
Yes.
It, or for the sake of having.
I know it's kind of neat. I have to admit, when I saw you add this to the show notes, I'm thinking this sounds very curious. So, okay, well, my life isn't nearly as exciting as yours.
Hey, you can do it too. Just get $75 together, get it converted to euros, and have at it.
There you go. Well, no, I got a few other things. I finished doing those Hobby Club websites, so they're happily now with CleverHost. I still got to play with the gallery. Busy still learning the new job. Love working at London Life. Got my first paycheck, so that's always good.
Great.
And hopefully my good wife, Alicia, I'm finishing building a PC for her, running Windows 7, and then we'll get all that kind of switched over. So more unpacking stuff like that. Actually, I do want to start looking into some video editing stuff. I wanted to play a little bit more with YouTube, so I may start looking into learning Premiere Pro, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, stuff like so. That's basically. But yeah, certainly not as exciting. What's been happening with all your Raspberry Pi hardware and all that at Olio?
Nothing.
Okay, just wondering.
It was a very busy week. Soccer season's wrapping up for my oldest son, so we have a game on Thursday and then final season game on Thursday, and then a tournament on Friday and Saturday.
And you're the coach, are you?
I am the coach.
That's right.
So
how are they doing this year?
They're doing great. Awesome. So at under 8, there's no official scores or standings. And that's an Ontario Soccer Association thing. Under 10, there is. But for this year, there's nothing official. But of course, the kids know. They know. They know whether they won or lost. They know who they beat. They know how many goals they scored. You can ask, like, how many goals did we score the first game? They're like, we scored 3. Like, they know. Awesome. And as a matter of fact,
it's fun at that age.
It is. But there's no official standings or anything like that. But unofficially, we have won every single game except for, I think we're 10, 2-1. So wins, that's losses, excellent. And ties. 10 or 11,
okay,
2-1.
I have a brand new job for you then.
What is it?
I want you to coach the English national team next year.
I can't really do any worse, can I?
Exactly.
I mean, a complete unknown. Yeah, a complete unknown coming in and trying to do it. I mean, so I lose again in the World Cup. Well, at least we tried something different, right?
Exactly. But
yeah, I'm up for it. Have those people call my people. I'm sure you've got contacts, right? Just
I'm sure I do.
Just
I'll
call
see
the queen.
Find. Yeah, there's a few people out there that are pretty annoyed. Let me put it that way. At least the existing guy quit right afterwards. That's probably the safest thing you could have done. So
yeah. I'll take it over.
There you go. Perfect. Hey, like I said, the pay's good, I hear too. If they even pay you a fraction of what they paid him.
Yeah, exactly. I'll settle for,
I think it was 15 million pound.
Oh, geez. I'll settle for 1 million.
There you go. All right.
a year.
I'll have a word. I'll have a word with the FA Association.
Yeah, see I'm going to save them money and they'll do at least as well.
At least as well.
At least.
At least. And the best thing of all is you'll remember your friends and get those friends tickets.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Front row. I was going to say 50-yard line.
No. Okay. Oh God.
Sorry. Midfield.
All right. That might be your sinking ship right there. Sorry, man.
Wrong football.
Hopefully the FA don't hear this. So
I doubt
okay.
It.
I think we're done for this week.
I think so.
On that low note, high note, whatever.
On that middling note.
It'll be a note. So for the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 81, for Monday, August the 8th, 2016, my name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.